Hi, welcome to Endometriosis Jerry the Butterfly. I'm Letitia, international author, jewelry designer, empowerment speaker, and endometriosis advocate. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about something that is very important but hardly ever talked about. That is how we truly feel and what our emotions are about having endometriosis. It's something that I know we all deal with, but we don't really share those feelings with other people, and I know that I am guilty of that as well. So let's jump into this week's episode. When you have endometriosis, we have talked about the toll that it takes physically, but I've touched on but not really deep dived into the toll it takes on you mentally, and it does take a toll on you mentally. I feel like it's something that should be discussed, and we should talk about the toll it takes on you mentally and how it affects different areas of your life. Now, I have talked about how it affects you in terms of dating. You've talked about the work, relationships, all of that, which is part of the equation, so we will talk about some of that again, but just how it affects you personally as well is a big factor. We so often just look at the physical and how it affects us. We don't think about how it affects us mentally or what things we do to avoid confronting our feelings and all of that. It wasn't honestly until I had a conversation with a friend this week that I truly began to dive more into feelings that I have about endometriosis, how I felt. Also had a doctor's appointment, which played a role in it as well. And it made me realize we don't really talk about how we feel, and we just act sometimes like everything's okay and all of that, but it may not be. So let's talk about it. Endometriosis is something that it just exhausts you both physically and mentally. And it's something that it's so hard to explain, because it's not like it's not something that everyone knows, and we can easily put into words how we feel. It's mentally draining, physically draining, drains us just in so many ways. Endometriosis, on average, takes 8 to 10 years to diagnose. 8 to 10 years. What do you think that does to you mentally? 8 to 10 years of not knowing if you have endometriosis. 8 to 10 years of doctor's appointments. 8 to 10 years of different testing. 8 to 10 years of just everything, just not knowing. Maybe you are being told there's nothing wrong with you. We can't find anything. You've done all the specialists. You've done all the tests. We don't see anything wrong with you. Maybe it's 8 to 10 years of that. So it's a lot. Going to the doctors, going to different specialists, just having to explain your story over and over and over and over again, answering the same questions over and over again, sometimes doing the same test over and over again, is just draining. It's annoying, it's draining, it's time consuming. Just a lot. They don't come up, a lot of times they don't come up with anything. Or they use a blanket, you know, blanket diagnosis, which is not always good either. But we're talking 8 to 10 years during the most important time in a woman's life. Childbearing years normally is when it is. Normally it's in your childbearing years. It's when those 8 to 10 years are. Think about, they, just think about that. 8 to 10 years that you don't know what's wrong, but technically you could, you know, you could be having fertility problems, and that could be why you're trying to figure out what's going on with you. So that's 8 to 10 years potentially that you, you know, could have been having a child, could have been starting a family, all of these things that you're not, because you're not sure what's going on with you. It's not being treated. We're not sure this, that, and the other. And honestly, for when you're having these problems, they want to put you on birth control, give you IUD, or, you know, give you a hysterectomy. So they're not really helping you with if you want to have a child. That's not helping in any way. So it's very frustrating if you would like to have a child to be basically being put through all of that during that time. And part of the thing is too, you know, it does affect fertility. You could have painful sex, all of that. And it's just kind of like you don't know what's going on with you. You're not getting answers. You're just being passed around. That's very, very stressful. You may not share with anybody, but it's stressful. It does take a toll. It definitely takes a toll. It makes you feel like you're the only one who feels that way. It makes you feel alone. It makes you avoid different things. It just causes all different types of things. And everyone handles things differently. So, you know, everyone has a different experience on how they handle things. But it's just a lot. And no one ever talks about it. And it's not something that's really mentioned. I felt like, personally, endometriosis should be handled a lot better than it is, because it's just a lot. You're just thrown into this disease that takes forever to diagnose. You're poked and prodded, sent to different doctors, put on all this different medication. And not one time do they take into account how it makes you feel. What do you want? You know, like, what are your feelings? How, you know, like, how do you feel about the situation? And depending on when you start or have these problems, maybe you're young and so you don't know, you know, to advocate for yourself. Or you don't know that, you know, maybe you don't want to be on birth control all this time or do IUDs or this, that, and the other. Because, you know, maybe you don't know just the different, you know, your different right as a patient. All that plays a role. Then, depending, you know, that's a, you know, throw in, you know, society, dating, marriage, you know, children, this, that, and the other. On top of having endometriosis, it's a lot. It is a lot. it's not something that people understand I have a feeling. Endometriosis, as you know, does not have a cure, so it's not like you can go per se and get cured for it. You can have a surgery, laparoscopic procedure, which tells you if you have endometriosis, and yes, they can remove some endometriosis during the surgery, which may or may not help your pain. It may or may not help whatever your symptoms are. So yes, you technically can have surgery. We don't know if that's going to help you or not. You know, it could cause more problems. We don't know. It's all a matter of, you know, how bad it is, where it is, what the surgeon does, all of this. So it's not, oh, if you have this procedure, everything goes away, you feel better, all of that. That's not the case. And just, you know, laparoscopic procedure is, you know, they tell you it's easy recovery, you know, because, it's, you know, they're going, making smaller incisions through, you know, your tummy and your belly button. But let's be real about it. You are going into my private area. That's very sacred. No matter how you go, you know, you're going in there. They're going in, you know, uterus, fallopian tubes, all of those areas. You know, they're going all those places. Those are just very, very sacred. You know, that's, if anything goes wrong in there when they're in that surgery, honestly, that could be your chances for having a baby. Uterus, fallopian tube, all of that. I mean, that's a lot to think about. Not to scare you, but that's just scary. All you know, just not scary altogether. Yes, every surgery has complications, but that's just scary to me. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about how something, you know, can happen, all of this. And it's not necessarily, you know, we don't know how bad endometriosis is. I have heard of people, I have read of people who their endometriosis is bad, you know, their organs are fused together. You know, some people's are so bad, they lose, you know, some people, they lose, a fallopian tube, or maybe they lose both of them, because their endometriosis is that bad. If we're waiting 8 to 10 years, on average, we're averaging. That's not every person. My story is 14 years. It took 14 years to get diagnosed. So 8 to 10 years is average. Some people are more, some people are less. That's average. Then yeah, anything can happen. You can have, you know, organs fused, this, that, and the other. So we're just taking a long time, you know, a decade. A whole decade that we are just not finding out that a woman has endometriosis and not giving her treatment for what it is, or giving her options, honestly. I mean, it's like them saying that you have, like, for example, I don't really believe I have bowel endometriosis. But I really can't, honestly, I can't really prove it unless I have another laparoscopic procedure. Because the first doctor said that I had some on the bowel, but didn't take pictures of it and didn't document it correctly. So she said there's endometriosis on the bowel, but didn't really explain where, how much, or take pictures of it. So it's like, no one knows. So I have to have another surgery to go in to see how bad it is, da da da, and then have a bowel specialist go in after that, depending on how bad it is and where it is, if they're able to take it off. So I have to have a surgery, an extra surgery, basically just to see where it is, because the doctor messed up and did not do her job correctly, which is ridiculous. And every surgery opens up that, opens up, you know, the possibility of having complications, more scar tissue, this, that, and the other. So I don't, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's just a whole lot. It's a lot to think about. It's not easy either. We don't talk about it, nor do our doctors really ask us how we're feeling in terms of, you know, mentally. You know, they're like, how are you physically? But they don't, you know, ask, how are you, you know, how are you feeling, like, just all of that. I mean, it's easy to feel alone, feel disconnected, just feel however you feel. I felt like endometriosis, honestly, I don't know if I've talked about it before, but I have. I feel like endometriosis really, based on the symptoms and just everything around, I feel like it really kept me from dating, honestly. Just the whole thing. It's a lot to explain to someone. I don't think, I don't feel like guys really understand it. You can explain it to them, but I don't think they fully understand it. And I don't think that they, not all, I'm not making a blanket statement, but I feel like a lot of them don't understand it, and a lot of them don't truly don't really understand the how serious it is. I don't think they understand how serious it is. They feel like, okay, you have this, and it's something that I feel like feel like surgery is gonna help you, so you should get that done. I don't feel like they understand the whole thing of surgery may work, surgery may not work, the whole thing like that. I don't think they per se understand all of that. And it's just, I feel like it's just a lot to deal with. And I, you know, at first, when I first heard endometriosis and all that, you know, I was dating and all of that. But then I did, you know, get to a point where I did not date, just because it was just too much, honestly, to try to. It was just too much. I felt like it was just too much for me to explain it, for the man to understand, and just all of that. I just it was just too much for me personally. I did not want to deal with all of that. It's just, you know, extra, I feel like it's extra stress that just wasn't necessary, I feel like. You know, there are, you know, some guys who are good about it and, you know, understand and are real nice about it. But I feel like that's kind of far and few between. But it's something we definitely need to teach guys about, to be able to support. And not even, I mean, sometimes by support, I mean, it could just be lending their ear. I mean, just letting you vent about it. Just talk about it. It could be them researching, you know, researching something with you. It could be, you know, as simple as them understanding that you, as much as you want to go out, you're not feeling well now. So you, you know, sometimes unfortunately you can't feel planes as a last minute because you don't feel well. It could be as simple as them, you know, understanding that sometimes, you know, you don't feel like going out, and maybe just watching a movie, you know, or something like that. You, maybe you just want to stay home, cuddled up with your heating pad, and them understanding and being okay with that. Been like, okay, well, let me cuddle up, you know, let me get her heating pad, she wants to cuddle up with it, and I'm fine, we can watch a movie, all that. It's just basically being understanding, I feel like, is what's lacking. Like I said, not everyone, you know, I have some guy friends who have looked it up, you know, looked up different things, researched it, all of that, know some things about endometriosis. And I mean, that's nice, you know, to have that. If you want to talk to them, you know, they understand some things. It's not like they're just like, oh, this and that. But it's something that definitely needs to be taught and educated for. And it's not fair. Not fair to the women, I feel like, to have to deal with it and explain it. You know, that's really why I do what I do. It's why I write books. It's why I have this podcast. It's why I speak, is to educate people, educate them so they don't have to go through what I went through. You know, I always joke, you know, and tell my friends, I can't educate, you know, the whole world, we need more people to advocate, we need more people to speak out, and all this stuff. But if I could ask one thing, is if you are not, if you don't have endometriosis, but you are an advocate, you're someone who supports someone who has endometriosis, you know someone who has endometriosis, please, please read up more on it. Please see how you can be more supportive, even if it's just lending an ear. Sometimes we just need someone to listen to us. Even it could be as simple as, you know, you could just call up and just be like, how are you really doing? Are you feeling okay? You know, are you having, you had any flares? Just anything like that. Is there anything I can bring you? Just anything. I mean, there are days where endo, your endo flares are just off the chain. Like, endo belly is real. There are days where my endo belly has me looking really, 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 really pregnant, which I'm not, but I look really pregnant with my endo belly, and it makes me feel a certain type of way. Honestly, I don't want to look pregnant when I'm not, and I don't really want to go out in public looking that way because I don't want to have that conversation with someone. It's like, oh, you're pregnant, da da da. So, when you have endometriosis, sex is painful, then it's going to be really hard to have a child, and you don't know how I mean, you have to see if your fallopian tubes were just the whole plethora of things. So, you have to find those things out. But, you go to the fertility doctor, which not everyone does, and all of that. I think I mentioned I went to the fertility doctor because I wanted to know on my own and all of this stuff. But that's a whole other conversation. But in terms of wanting to have a child, all of that, it takes a lot if you have endometriosis, depending on how bad it is, where it is, all of that. So to even have to go out looking pregnant because you have endobelly and your belly's bloated, and to take the chance that someone's going to say, oh, you're pregnant, what do you do when you'd like to have a child, but you probably won't have a child because you have endometriosis and all of that, and sex painful and all of this, then you really don't. Basically, it's a negative experience, and you really don't want to leave the house, per se. Or you want to find something that hides it, but if you're looking really pregnant, there's not going to be a shirt that is going to hide your tummy that well, where it's not going to show anything. And that's really, really hard. Women who just, for some reason can't have a baby, then having the endobelly like that and having people say, are you pregnant, is really, really, really painful. And I don't think we think about that. It's just a lot. And it's just something that we, people ask out of excitement and all of this stuff, but to someone who wants a child or has endo or may not, all the stuff we don't think about, it could be hurtful to them for us, to be asking, are you pregnant or this, that, and the other. So, it's just feelings about different things. That we don't necessarily think about it personally, because unless it affects us, we don't really think about, oh, that might hurt their feelings or this and that, and it's just a lot. I know, endobelly days, I hate that. I hate feeling bloated. I hate looking bloated. It's just, I'm tired those days for the most part. It's just a lot. And I society is just, can be cruel. So, you really just don't want to leave the house those days. And some days you do. And some days you do have to leave the house. So it's just, sometimes that's stressful, just trying to find, getting dressed sometimes when you have endobelly is stressful. What can I wear where I don't look like I'm, however many months pregnant you happen to look that day? Because it fluctuates depending on how bloated you are. I know there are days where I look pretty bloated, so I could probably be, there are days probably I could look anywhere from, 3 to 6 months pregnant. It just depends on, the day and what's going on. And it's like, it's hard to find clothes that hide your tummy like that. And it can go from 0 to 60, especially, I feel like today I have bowel endometriosis. Sometimes after I have a bowel movement, then I really look pregnant. So, it's just goes off and on. Maybe 1 minute you look okay and the next minute you look bloated. So, it's not like a constant, oh, I'm going to look, it's not like I can say, oh, I'm going to be bloated such and such today. It's constantly changing. Maybe I look bloated now, but maybe, you know, it could be, depending on what happens. You know, maybe in 10 minutes, maybe I look more bloated. Maybe I look a little less bloated. Maybe in another 2 hours, my bloating goes down. But then in 6 hours, maybe it doubles. You know, I mean, it's just unpredictable. Or maybe I stay bloated and look like I'm 6 months pregnant. Maybe that happens, you know, for a couple weeks. Maybe it happens for a couple days. I don't know. It's just unpredictable. So you never know. And, you know, sometimes maybe it has something to do, you know, we never know. Maybe it has something to do with something you eat. Maybe it has to do with having a bowel movement. Maybe it has to do with nothing. It's just so random. We don't know what causes it. So it could be something or it could be nothing. It could happen constantly. It could happen rarely. I mean, it's just a catch-22. So that's what makes it so weird, is you just don't know when it's going to happen. And I know that endobelly is something that affects a lot of women with endometriosis, or a lot of people with endometriosis, and it's like something that everyone hates, and it's just not a fun part, and I don't know, it's just, I'm sure it could be, you know, that's probably hard to explain too, you know, if you're seeing somebody or whatever, and you know, 1 minute they see you, and you know, honestly, they could see you 1 minute and you look fine, and maybe you go to the bathroom or something happens, the next minute you look pregnant. They probably will not know, like, what is going on with her, you know, like, now she looks pregnant, and you know, what is going on? Is she not? What do we say? I don't know. And then just the being, you know, just the whole thing about, you know, canceling plans. You know, there are times where I've, you know, you want to go out or do something. Well, this is prior to the pandemic, of course. Pre-pandemic, so, you know, you want to go out, but sometimes, you know, you just don't feel like it. Maybe you have endobelly, or, you know, maybe you just feel tired, or, you know, you could have fatigue, or, you know, you could have all types of things that happen, and you just don't feel like going out. And so, I mean, that's something, too, you know. Then they'll be like, well, you know, all of a sudden you just don't want to go out, and it's like, that could be hard to explain too. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes on, and I mean, you feel bad anyway having to cancel plans, so you don't want, you know, someone else to make you feel bad either. So it's just a lot, and we don't ever talk about any of those things, and how you feel, and all of this, and oh, and it gets worse, and you know, when you have an endo flare, and when are your endo flares, you know, like sometimes they're during your period, or after your period, and it depends on how bad your period is, and like every, it's just like endo's a lot, it's just a lot, like, it's just so hard to explain, and it's just a lot. You know, I feel like we honestly should all have, like, an endo friend or something that we should be able to talk to about what's going on, because I feel like it's just so lonely, because no one ever talks about it. Or shares, you know, how they feel, or this and that, because it is a lot. It's a lot. We don't say anything but it takes a toll on us. We act like we're fine. And I mean, there are many days where you're not fine, but you know, you act like you're because you don't want to complain about this, that, or the other, or how you're feeling, or this and that. And it's just a lot, which is, you know, exactly one of the reasons that I'm going to do endometriosis coaching, is because I don't want other women that have endometriosis to feel alone like I did when I first heard the word. I mean, that's like the worst feeling ever. I mean, we have people, celebrities and people coming out now, but before, you know, they weren't, and so you feel like you're the only one, and that you don't have anyone to talk to, and no one understands, and it's just a horrible feeling. And no one should feel that way. And you should not, honestly, you should not have to give up anything just because you have endo, honestly. That is really the truth. Like, I should not have had to stop dating. I should not have felt like I had to. I should not feel like I've had to give up things just because I have endometriosis. I mean, I feel like that's one of the things that is like the most frustrating, is just like how much you feel like you have to give up sometimes with endometriosis. Having relationships, going, you know, going places, having kids, all of that. It's a lot that you give up. And a lot of people may not know the sacrifices or different things that some people make, because we don't talk about it. And we don't talk about it for various reasons. Sometimes it's very painful. And that's why we don't talk about it. And just, you know, I just think of all the wasted time with not getting my diagnosis right away. You know, just all the time wasted. It just, honestly, all the time wasted, honestly, makes me sick to my stomach. Seriously, because my surgery really, for the most part, helped a lot, except for, you know, I still have bloating, but I don't think that's going to help, and I think some of that has to do with, I still think I have bowel endometriosis, which was not, of course, taken care of in the surgery, so I feel like bowels and bloating, it's like really the main problems that I still have. I still have cramping sometimes. Like cramps, but they're not like, most of the time they're not super bad like they were prior to the surgery. So I feel like for the most part the surgery worked. And it's just frustrating to think you have to wait. It's like, wait, 14 years, all that time that's wasted, all the things that I missed out on, all the things I can't do, it just really makes me sick, which is one of the reasons, you know, I try to help other women so they don't feel that way, and they don't miss out on different things. Because 14 years is a long time. I mean, it's like you can't get that, you can't get that time back. I can't get 14 years back, which is just like so long ago. And you know, some of it is, you know, you put yourself in the predicament of, you know, not wanting to share and share your feelings and all of this, and sometimes it's just, you don't even know where to start with your feelings. You know, it's just hard to explain sometimes exactly how you're feeling to someone, to let someone else understand it. So that's just how it is. So that is just what the possibility is, that, you know, a lot of people will be feeling a certain way but won't explain it because they may not know how to, they may not know how it'll be taken, and maybe they just don't want to have the conversation. It's not an easy conversation to have. It's just, I just wish that endometriosis coaching was available when I first found out about it. That's why I'm starting coaching to help other women, because it's something that we need. We need people to talk to that understand us. And I am coaching to help other women, to listen to them. I'm not a licensed therapist or anything like that. I'm doing coaching in terms of helping women advocate for themselves and all of that, to tell them what they need, questions they need to ask for at the doctor, things like that. So that's what I am going to do, because I feel like that's what we need. That's what's needed. We need to have someone to talk to that understands, that knows what it's like, that will not judge us, and will truly just listen and be able to, if need be, provide, you know, information. And, you know, if we have questions, they can help us. And there's no better person that knows endometriosis better than someone who has it. Someone who doesn't have it can't, you know, really tell me what it's like, because they don't have it. I mean, they can read about it, but, you know, reading about it and having it are two different things. And you really, really need someone to support you that has it. It's hard enough on its own, so you need someone that's gonna listen, understand, be like, okay, well, I've been there, and just truly help you. And that's what I plan on doing. You know, I feel like things would have been so different if I would have had that. And I don't know what it is that's causing everyone to come out, you know, now and share their journey of that endometriosis. I'm happy that more people are sharing, you know, that they have endometriosis. But, you know, I wish some of them would have shared, you know, a while ago. Some of them have had it for a while, but I wish that they would have shared a while ago, because you never know who you might help, which, like I said, is why I write the book, why I do this podcast, why I became a speaker. It's my why for why I do everything. Endometriosis is truly to help others, and to be the voice and provide the support and help that I wish that I had. So, there's one thing that I could say is just, please, 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 don't be afraid to share how you're feeling with someone when you leave your feelings bottled up too long and get inside your head, that's when you have issues, and it's hard, kind of harder to resolve them. We all have different things affect us different ways. And no, it's not always easy to talk about what's going on with us, how we feel, this, that, and the other. But it's really important that we do talk to someone. Even if you journal, write your thoughts down if you don't want to talk to somebody, but get your feelings out. If you keep them bottled up, it's only going to get worse. I only, like I said, realized how I was feeling about some different topics by talking with a friend, and they honestly pointed some things out to me. And I had to, and also having that doctor's appointment made me realize some things too. So, these are feelings, honestly, that have been built up over time. They did not happen overnight, so therefore they won't disappear overnight. But you do have to be aware of them and see, even if we push them back, how they are still affecting our life, our thoughts, everything. Like, how is it affecting everything? And it really, I just really opened my eyes about some things, and you just have to be truthful with yourself. How do I really feel? Why do I feel this way? And what am I going to do to resolve it? I decided to come on here and talk about feelings to try to open the conversation about it. You know, and that's kind of what helps me, is just being able to talk on here about it. I don't share my feelings a lot either. Although I talk on here, I don't share all of my feelings on there, but it is nice to have someone who kind of knows you and knows what it is that you're going through and how you truly feel, even if you don't really admit it to yourself. So, you know, the whole 14 years of, you know, missing out on dating, getting married, having kids, all of that, you know, that does, you know, I am upset about it. I don't talk about it, but I am upset about it when I think about it. And all of that, I don't share that often, but that is something, you know, that frustrates me. And, you know, I wish I could change it, but I can't. So, you know, it does affect probably the way I think about different things. I know it does. It has to. And it's not something that I necessarily do on purpose. It's just something that happened years ago, and it's still around because it was not addressed. It's still, you know, valid, something that, you know, built up over time, and now here we are. So just try not to let things build up. I know it's easier said than done. Try to talk to somebody. If you don't have anyone to talk to, then, you know, you can always journal. If you do need someone to talk to, you know, you can feel free to reach out to me. The email is in here. And, you know, as always, I'm always happy to talk to you, help you in any way that I can. And like I said, you know, you can reach out to me. Email's best. You can leave a message down here as well. Just any way that you would like to. Because I know when you look under on the settings in there, then it says, you know, what on the podcast on there, it tells you what it is. But if not, the email, if you'd like to reach out to me, is endo2butterfly@gmail.com. Again, endo2butterfly@gmail.com. If you ever want to reach out and talk to me, I'm more than happy to talk to you. We just need to start talking and not keeping our feelings about endometriosis inside and how we truly feel, and let that out. It's about that time that this episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly has come to an end. That's always a sad part of the show for me. I do want to thank everybody that listens to this show. Without you, there is no show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope everyone's staying safe. And, you know, pray that this pandemic comes to an end soon. And as always, the next episode will be on Saturday, April 24th, 12:45 Central Standard Time. Until then, please stay safe. Have an amazing day. And as always, thank you for listening to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. I'm Latricia. Until next time.